Hey, what's up, people? How's it going, ladies and germs? We're not recording this week, so I'm going to put out an old episode from me and Tony Cody. This is from the beginning of October 2024, and he passed away at the beginning of this year. He was a good dude. He had a lot of good knowledge. So happy holidays, everyone, and I'll catch up with you here probably at the beginning of the year. Probably put out another old episode next week.
The military-industrial complex doesn't care about us. We need to stop sending our children to war and dying for the bankers and elites. The medical-industrial complex does not care about us. They need us sick and weak so we can be patients for life. Stop taking their poison. The education system is merely an indoctrination program designed to supply the elites with obedient workers and turn over as much profit as possible at our expense. Let's turn off the television. Put down the phone. Let's take our country back. Thanks for being one of us. You are listening to the Conspiracy Soldiers Podcast.
Let's do this.
All right, what's up, ladies and germs? Welcome back to the show. It's midday, man. It's 1:55 p.m. September 30th, 2024. I'm here with Tony. Is it Cody?
Yeah, it is Cody. You're actually the first person to actually pronounce that correctly in the history of my name. So
I was gonna say Coach.
It's usually coat is what people say, but that again, funny story, going down to my Instagram name, that's why it's Coat Rack, because it was just something that came up when I was a kid. My buddy started saying it when I was like 14, and then here we are, almost 30 years later, yeah. And it still stuck. So,
well, I'm not as smart as I come off, because I knew your name was pronounced like that because I heard you on that YouTube clip that you sent me. So that's how I knew it was pronounced Cody.
Oh, was that the one from the Iowa talk show guys with the OKC thing?
Yeah, wasn't it 9/11?
No,
you're right. My bad. It was Oklahoma City.
I kind of stuck with that. That was like my red pill moment was when I was young back then. I was born in 85, so it was like I was like 11 years old, and I'm like, something smells like shit about this whole thing. Yeah. And from there, it just it was something growing, I guess, inside of me at that point. But once it came to 9/11, I was just like, fucking door shut, man. This is over. And it's just I won't say it was from day one, but it was like once I had like 6 months of the internet to try to look into things, that was it. I was just like, and the funniest thing is there was a guy that drove, you remember the Mazda Miatas, the little two-door, two-seater sports cars?
Yeah.
So he... This was like 2002, and he spray painted his car jet black, which I did also with my Bronco when I bought one of those a couple years later. But it was like one of those OJ Broncos, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. That thing was so badass. But anyways, this guy with this tiny little Miata spray painted his car black, and then in white writing, he wrote Infowars.com inside job on the bottom. And it was like, I saw this guy driving around my neighborhood for, probably 3 months or something like that. And I'm like, what the fuck is this actually about? And to be honest with you, that even brought me much further into, I hate the term conspiracy theory because I don't think it's, I don't think it's accurate at all. You can look back at history and see where it came up through, like, the JFK assassination and stuff like that, and how the CIA coined it. But It's just never a term that sat well with me. It's like I would prefer like a truth seeker or somebody who's, you know, either an archivist or a researcher or however you say it. Like, we all have those little parts in preserving what actually happened versus what the narrative is. And, you know, I'll never know that guy. I wish I could shake his hand at this point, but that
yeah, well, man,
that blacked me out. I did it, man.
Yeah, to drive around like that, like broadcasting it, that's especially back then, it was
2002. That was unheard of, man. That
yeah,
was
he like, he might have been a little bit out there, really, but who knows?
I'm sure he was, but then here's me. As a kid, like under, you know, a teenager level, that was checking out Bill Cooper back in,
yeah,
you know, back in the early 90s. Like that was, I don't know. I'm a geek like that. Like I'm very outgoing and stuff like that. But I'll also bury myself in a book of the library without even thinking about it. You know.
Yeah, Bill Cooper's another one, man. Like. Back then, people probably thought he was batshit crazy, but today it's like, yeah, half of that shit already came true. You know, like,
yeah,
he predicted 9/11, and so did Alex Jones, for that matter. But that's probably where he got it from, you know.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to think of some of the original like. The real like OG conspiracy theorists, they're definitely on the tops of the list. But there was other guys too. I'm drawing a blank right now. But
well, you had Art Bell. He was more kind of into like UFOs and shit.
You know what? Like as far as Art Bell goes, like I think that what we're doing right now is the Lord's work that He laid out. Because, you know, having these open conversations without any restrictions, any borders, that's what he was doing, you know, back with Coast to Coast forever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but podcasting is where I don't watch TV, I don't watch the news. I got certain podcasts that I trust, and I listen to that shit at work, and that's where I get my news, you know? Because you can't trust the fucking mainstream media at all.
No, I completely agree with you. Like, you know, once in a while, I'll see, like, you know, something streaming, which is stupid because I shouldn't even be paying for this shit. I turn my TV on, like, once a month, if that. Yeah. you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
But if I see something that's streaming that catches my attention, I'll give it a watch, but I don't watch TV, man. I turned that shit off years ago.
Yeah.
Do you listen to Monica Perez by any chance? She used to be with the Propaganda Report.
Yeah. No, I don't listen to her regularly, but I have. I know who she is. She's on the, what's that show? It's a panel show. I can't think of the name of it right now, but she's on there once in a while.
Yeah, Union of the
Unwanted. Yeah, Union of the Unwanted. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's got an incredible series going on right now. I think it's on part 3, if I'm not mistaken. Plan for at least a part 4. But it's on the I believe it's called like Mass Control or something like that. And she's referenced like 3 books by this one author, in addition to like the Edward Bernays. Are you familiar with him?
Yeah, he's the founder of, he founded Propaganda. I've done episodes on him. He was his uncle was a famous psychiatrist or some shit. What's his name? Yeah.
Freud.
Sigmund Freud. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's gone into like this kind of deep dive cycle of like doing hour long episodes and stuff like that on what was actually going on and how the, you know, the intelligence agencies picked up on this whole psychological trend of what really started, you know, right in coexistence with like the progressive movement that was going on with Wilson in the 20s. And you can even jump back further because, you know, Bernays is also tied in with Darwin and what was his nephew's name? The one that was really involved in eugenics and kind of kickstarted the Nazis. Drawing a blank on that right now.
Darwin's nephew?
Yeah, he's the one that really started the eugenics movement and the Fabian socialists and stuff like that in England.
I'm not familiar with that. I mean, I know a little bit about, I know Bill Gates' dad was in it, and Alice Bailey, which goes into that goes into some occult shit, but I don't know. It's like a spider web, man.
Oh, it's a giant spider web, but the Fabian socialists and the, okay, hold on one moment, man.
All right, I'm going to pause.
Sorry, I know
it.
We didn't really.
No, I'm going to get a beer anyway. Good. All right, we're back. So you looked something up.
I did. So Darwin's nephew was actually Charles Galton, or Garwin, rather. Or no, Galton. I'm sorry, I'm misreading this. But he was the nephew of, you know, of Charles Darwin. And what he did was he took what was going on in the United States, and it would take some further looking up for this. But we essentially established, like, the entire structure of eugenics, as well as frenetics, if you look back on that, which is like measuring people's skulls and stuff like that in the mid 1800s, which obviously turned out to be incorrect. And you know, anybody can have their own views on this, but like if you look at that on face value, and it's ironic that I say face value because that's exactly what frenetics is looking at the shape of people's skulls and their physical bone structure and stuff like that in their face.
And it supposedly defines what? Like,
it defines like an intelligence, or, you know, IQ or general adaptability.
Okay.
At that point. You know, there's really never been any evidence behind that. And personally, I find it repugnant. I don't give a shit what color, creed, or race, religion you are. You just try to exist peacefully. You know what I mean? Like, right. That's all I'm looking for. You know, like I don't care about the insignificant things like this in the past that they tried to pass as science more than I do now with the fucking jabs. And,
right.
Bullshit that they're pulling at this point. It's pseudoscience and it's disgusting to me.
It reminds me of like when we were kids and you would see like a mad scientist on a cartoon. You know, like they have this evil plan for the world. You know what I mean? Like, why do they feel like they have to have this kind of control over the population? You know, like. Like, for instance, Bill Gates, or, I mean, he's the first one that comes to mind, but it's not just him. You got Klaus Schwab. You got, I mean, back in the day, you had other people, but, you know, this eugenic shit, like how, where do they get this opinion that they can make those kind of decisions, you know, like Planned Parenthood, which I don't know how you feel about that, but far as like abortions and shit, but It goes a lot deeper when you start looking into the actual Planned Parenthood Corporation, like what they do with the fetus and, you know, all the sales and backdoor deals that goes on with that type of shit. I don't know how much you know about that.
I'm totally ready to speak on this, brother. So, you know, not only is it abhorrent in my mind, you know, to have an abortion in the first place, like, I'll be honest on that. Like, I had two unplanned pregnancies that, you know, I could have made that decision. And one of them, you know, was actually a situation where the arrangements were already made as far as adoption and stuff like that. And I backed off from it the second he was born. That's my son. Yeah. You know, like, that's something that I can't walk away from. As far as the actual procedure itself and what they've done with that, that's even more disgusting. You know, like, it would be one thing to have, you know, again, a child born and given, you know, a decent experience in life with somebody other than me. But what actually gets done with, you know, they love to call it a fetus. It's a fucking human being, you know. Right. And for me, you know, having a child sucked out of a woman's womb, and then on top of that, be used for you know, decades worth of vaccines, because they use those child fetus cells as, you know, I can't get into the exact representation right now, but it's pretty much like, those stem cells are used for vaccines for decades and decades. I mean, they're still using stuff, you know, fetus matter, they call it, because they don't like to call it an actual baby. They're still using that since the 80s.
Yeah.
And they just keep on reproducing it.
Yeah.
And that to me is, that to me, you know, above and beyond everything else, like, if you really want to find something fucked up, like, that's really bad.
Yeah.
You know? Sorry to go off on a tangent there, but that's something that definitely strikes home with me, and is something that, you know, has bothered me more and more over the years than it did when I was a kid. You know, I've been a classic, like, libertarian, but, you know, when libertarians advocate for stuff like that, I'm all set. You know, like, that has actually pushed me off of that that tangent, and put me, you know, for this election cycle, and I'm only going to say that because I take everything as it comes. For me, this time around, I'm voting for Trump because I don't think there's any hope for the future if we don't redirect our course.
I mean, he's got to be doing something for the people, or they wouldn't hate him so much and be, you know, all this trying to, I don't know if they really tried to shoot him. I don't know what that was about, but I mean, they definitely don't like him, you know, and if it was up to me, we wouldn't have a federal government. It'd be the state government, you know, and then if the senator fucks up, you can go to his fucking mansion and with torches and pitchforks. You know what I mean? The federal thing, it's just, they're too untouchable at that point. That's how I feel.
I agree with you, brother. And let me say this, like, as far as that goes, you know, I mean, 1963 was really, it wasn't the beginning, it was the end when they took over JFK. Like, the beginning was, you know, don't quote me exactly here, but 1946 to 1948 with the I'm drawing a blank right now too. With the beginnings of the CIA, it was there was a different National Strategic Office or something like that that preceded them.
I think it was J. Edgar Hoover was in that, right? And then,
oh no, J. Edgar Hoover started much earlier. He was just after World War One. But no, there was an agency that, and I'm sorry for this, I'm totally drawing a blank. I can look it up too, man. But there was a an agency prior to
all right. What was you saying now? The OSS, right?
Yes, the again, like I'm sorry for drawing a blank on that, but the OSS was the precursor to the CIA, and you could start to draw like programs like MK Ultra, MK Naomi, what the hell was the other one? There's one that turns the slaves into freaking robots, pretty much. I'm trying to think of that.
Turns the slaves into robots. I don't have.
Yeah, it was something like. It was something like. It wasn't Butterfly. Oh, Monarch. Monarch. MK Monarch.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, and then you can have the situations that occur with Project Mockingbird as well, where that was an effort to basically turn news agents into provocateurs. One of the most recent things that you'll actually find, and I will hammer this home every interview that you have with me, it is going to be the co-opting of the media in regards to the deep state goals.
And all right, now Mockingbird, I know that involved the media.
That did, yes.
But is that the same project that infiltrated the fraternities and shit, or was that a different project? I could have sworn, if it's not the same project, it was right around the same time. So they infiltrated the fraternities and they basically started steering the education and shit to go in the same direction as the media. Could have been two different projects, but it was the same idea.
Well, I've got to, and this might take a little bit of time here. Might take 10 minutes here, but I've got a couple interesting takeaways as far as that goes. So the media themselves and the way they were, pushed in a certain direction had absolutely everything to do with their educational experience and how they were able to get into the media. Because the government would really put out like absolute positive information where they're going to corrupt whoever comes up through the system. So there's that aspect, and then there's also the upper echelon, if you will, that will see where the sources are coming from. And when I say sources, it has nothing to do with information. It has more to do with how these sources are actually projected in society. And that can have a multiplier effect where their careers would influence where they're going in the future. So if it's like if it's one of the like big three, like in CBS, NBC, ABC. That's worth a certain value. But then you can also have like a Newsmax or a, you know, some of the, I can't even say it right now, but there are various organizations putting information out there like this that is not only credible, but verifiable. And how you take that, it's all on you. But it's not the 90s anymore, man. We're 30 years past that. It's the companies running the show, it can have 10 times the influence as what's being portrayed online in any sort of corporate environment, I guess. So I'll just say that, but I think that's a valid review.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you want, we can talk about Oklahoma City. I mean, we haven't really got into that on this show. I don't think we ever have. But give me a second. I'm going to shut the garage door. This dude's fucking cutting his grass. All right, we're back.
Hey, brother, you there?
Yeah.
You there?
Yeah.
Are we recording right now or no?
Yeah, I hit the button. Right. You want me to stop it? All right, we're back. We're back. I tried to be patient, man. That motherfucker, I shouldn't call him a motherfucker. I like him. The old dude across the street was cutting his grass, and I just lost my patience. I'm like, how the fucking long does it take to cut your yard? He's cool, though, man. He's a Vietnam vet. Me and him get along, but I just, there's only like five houses on my street. It's a roundabout. But every time I want to record in the middle of the day like this, somebody's got to fucking cut their grass or fucking make some kind of noise. So I had to shut the door. And then my daughter's going to be coming home from work and she'll open the door. I don't know how many episodes you listen to, Tony, but there was a couple of times that they showed up in the middle of the night and I thought it was like a fucking raid or some shit. You know, I'm sitting here recording and the garage door just starts going up and I'm just like, you know, my fucking reflex is just, it's just like, you know, like it's an attack or some shit.
I'll tell you what, brother, you want to hear a quick interlude before we get into the next shit?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right, so, you know, I don't brag about this shit, but I've been to jail, bro, and I've been to jail for a long time, like, you know, on stupid government bullshit. But I hear you, man. When you hear that fucking door knock, man,
yeah,
you can lose your mind.
Yeah, man. You
know what I mean? Like,
I'm always looking over my fucking shoulder.
Yeah, it's you know, to be honest with you, it's like PTSD shit, dude. And I'm not trying to claim that like as some sort of fucking hero or anything like that. I didn't go to war. You did, you know. Like I get it, but there's also like that prison mentality where you just,
right,
you start to interact with things differently, and it's nothing to be proud of, dude.
No, it's a normal human emotion, man. Like, and I don't claim PTSD. I've been to combat a couple of times, but you know, I've said this before on this show, like people that got drafted into Vietnam, now that's a different fucking story. You know what I mean? Like,
No doubt.
I mean, they didn't want to go. They could have been fucking protesting the week before that. Next thing you know, they're in the fucking jungle. You know what I mean? I knew what I was getting into. You know, so
yeah, but I don't think you wanted to go either, man. Like, and I'm trying to like understand this from somebody who didn't actually go, but who's understood the complexities of what happened. And you know, like that to me, again, I'm not claiming false valor, dude. I never want to think that, but there's also an understanding that you can't get without a historical perspective. is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Nah, you're right, man. I mean, that's part of the reason I do this show. If you listen to the intro, first thing we do is talk about the military-industrial complex. It's all bullshit.
No doubt. They've been fucking us for so long, dude. And like people, you know, again, like with me, it was like 9/11 was when we all started going in. I didn't go in, and I'm never gonna try to claim false prophecy on that. But a ton of my friends went in because we were upset about what happened about 9/11 before we knew the actual facts.
Right. Yeah. It wasn't the fucking Bin Laden.
No. They were paid for by us. It was fucking disgusting. You know, one thing that I had no intention of mentioning at this point, but do you know about what we, WT7? Or not 7, 6. Because there's anybody in the conspiracy community at this point that can mention WT7, but not 6. 6 was sitting between the two towers and was destroyed immediately upon the first tower falling.
So you're saying there was 4 buildings that went down?
Absolutely. Look it up, WT6. It's verifiable like information at this point.
I mean, I do hear about Building 7, and nobody fucking even talks about that. But now you're saying there's another one.
Yeah, WTC6 was absolutely targeted. It was between the two buildings, the tallest structures that fell. I'll give you a minute if you want to break. That's fine too, man.
No, I'm good. You want to talk about Oklahoma City?
Sure. The biggest thing I can tell you is Oklahoma City. Do you know what happened there at the time?
What's that?
Oklahoma City?
No.
On the Oklahoma, Kansas border at the time. That's when everything got kicked up in like 1994. And at that point, that's where Terry Nichols and Tim McVeigh and John number 3 confided, I guess we'll say. But that's everything, man. That's where it all started.
All right, so what years were they in the military? Do you know that?
Terry McVeigh was in the military from like almost the 1984's reason, I want to say, but I can't say for honesty. But it was the early 1980s, for sure.
Okay. All right, never mind. I thought maybe he was in the same time I was. I got out in 95. Well, I got out of active duty in 95, and then I went on to work with the Army Reserve and the National Guard and a couple different type of jobs. But I didn't really like it.
So what do you think now?
What's that?
What do you think now, brother? No, I'm saying like, what do you think now, brother? Like, you know, getting yourself out at that time.
I don't understand the question.
Okay, let me ask in a different mindset, if that's all right.
Yeah.
So, do you believe at that point you were a front runner on the coming movement that wanted to move away from the USA, or do you believe that you were sucked in at that point to the point where there were, I'm trying to think how to move this, where there were disparate conditions on how we move forward, because there was a clearly shifting events at that time. And I'm just wondering if you thought you were catching the kite flag or you were moving in the direction that the establishment was moving, if that makes
Yeah,
sense.
no, I get it. Yeah, no, I was just a patriotic kid, man. And, you know, most of my family was in the military. I mean, I was born in Long Beach because my dad was stationed out there, you know, and,
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt, dude. Right? Like I want to really establish the concept that I'm not
And what
trying
I'm
to move
saying was,
against
I was
you.
not awake yet. I wasn't paying
Right.
attention. Like for
Right,
instance,
because
have you heard
it's a
any of
long
the
time ago,
episodes?
man.
I'm sorry. Have you heard any of the episodes about where I talked about Haiti?
Yes, and that to me is truly something that is incredible in my eyes because 1996, and I believe that's the era that you were around then.
I was in Haiti in, from 94 to 95, and that was when
Okay.
General Cedrus overthrew the President Aristide. And then some of the people that we talked to were saying it was about child
Right,
trafficking.
so at this point now, like
Of course, we thought it
1996, like
wasn't
the
true at that time, you know.
no, that's incredible to hear, but like 1996 is like when you get into like the Bill Clinton and Hillary era, when they were dumping all these kids over the fucking seas, man. Like it was, that's bad, dude. There's no way to doubt it, but so with you guys being having boots on the ground at this point, like that's incredible, man. And it's something that our governments like don't want to be seen for various reasons. The most part, they're completely culpable.
Yeah. And what's crazy is the
But
same fucking shit is going on to this day. You got this barbecue dude. He's basically like fucking Robin Hood. You know, he's over there trying to do good things. And the news says he's a fucking cannibal. And his whole organization are
right.
eating people, which is
And
bullshit.
you know what, to be honest with you, dude, like you are one of the few people that can actually like understand what's going on in Haiti right now. Because for whatever reason, I don't know, I'm a fucking weirdo, dude. Like I look into stuff like this. Like international politics has always been my strong suit. What's going on right there right now? Guys like you were trying to devolve the situation in the 90s. You couldn't, but it wasn't because your fucking arms weren't capable. It's because things were hamstringed at the political level.
Yeah. So the general that overthrew the president was tired of fucking Haitian kids getting trafficked and shit. Fucking got his, gathered his troops and said, "Look, motherfucker, you're not president anymore. You're dirty." You know what I mean? And so Clinton sent us over
Yeah.
there. Clinton sent us over there. Of course they didn't want to fuck with us. I mean, by the time we the fucking plane landed, it was over. You know, there wasn't even any there really wasn't any gunfire or nothing. They didn't want to fuck with us. But the Haitian people, they didn't understand what was going on. So like it's the same thing. It's the media we got over here. It's the same media that's over in fucking Haiti. Like, they were fucking dancing in the streets when Aristide took back over. You know, because that's the message that they were getting. You know, that General Cedrus was bad and President Aristide was good. It's all bullshit, man. All right, we're back. We had some technical difficulties. It's a couple days later now. This is like side B of this episode. I'm here with Tony Cody. So, you said you wanted to talk about something. I can't remember what we were talking about when we quit.
I think we should just talk about why we quit, to
be honest with you. Yeah, no, that's fine.
You know, I'm 39 years old now, and I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes originally. And that was in like, it was a couple years ago. So I was like 37, I think. And, since then I've had, random episodes of just completely like flatlining and going unconscious. Actually, like this past year, I was bringing my kid in to get his tonsils taken out, and I completely dropped dead in the parking lot of the, you know, the clinic or whatever we were at. And believe it or not, they fucking Narcan me, and I'm like, and they're like, yeah, and they were like, we Narcan'd you and you didn't revive. And I'm like, yeah, because I'm not a junkie. I'm a fucking type 1 diabetic.
How often does that happen?
So I looked it up. Actually, it happens quite often. Like, it's just, you know, you show the unresponsiveness and they act accordingly, I guess, you know, but it
no, I mean, your episodes. Just, how often?
As far as unresponsiveness, it's happened to me like 3 times now.
So like 3 times in the past couple of years? That's not too bad, but...
No, but I mean like as far as like the response to it, you know, I was also put into a medicated coma for like 10 days, and that sucked. that was like, dude, I've broken my back, like completely shattered 2 vertebrae, and like went through like an, you know, I guess I'll call it a near death experience, because I flatlined multiple times through like a 14-hour surgery. I'll take that every day over the constant threat of the diabetes. And I know that sounds weird, but honestly, that's an experience that you overcome and get through. There's nothing that takes away from the daily experience of the diabetes.
So did you encounter anything on when you flatlined, or do you remember any of that?
Oh, absolutely. I'll say that if you're not a believer in God, try to die. Because I'll tell you what, I came through that as a different person, for sure. And that was about 12, 13 years ago now.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, what was it like? Tell me about it. What you remember.
So, I know that it sounds kind of cliche as far as, like, the white light and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And And I really don't know exactly what I saw, but I definitely saw that white light. And I don't know. It's interesting because I can kind of compare that situation with doing ayahuasca for the first time, because that definitely solidified my belief in God, because it was like he was I shouldn't even say he, because it might have been female, but there was definitely a presence there. And you know, comparing the two, I actually felt a more profound effect with the ayahuasca. But as far as the flat lines, you know, I bled out multiple times. They actually had to put like, what the hell was it? 18 pints of blood through me to keep me alive, because I kept bleeding out. But the two experiences were definitely similar, and that's kind of crazy to me, because how can you actually compare the two, you know?
Yeah, I guess it's like an out-of-body experience, just different path to get there, right?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It's, you know, in life you have certain, how do I want to say it, like mental markers, if you will. You know, like if, and not to get too off topic here, but you can compare it to like how like Tavistock and stuff like that works with trauma based mind control. You know,
yeah, I can see that.
I think that when you go through like such a traumatic situation, which, you know, to be perfectly honest, I've told you this in the past, I believe, but I have a traumatic brain injury, I have a brain tumor, like those things kind of, I look at them almost as a blessing, because it really changes the way that you think and the way that you react to situations. And I think that all really tags on to how you're going to live your life, you know?
Yep. Yeah, he's my neighbor. He's a Vietnam vet. He's got Agent Orange, so he's like 100% disabled, cancer, all that shit. He's got all kinds of fucking toys over there, though. He's got a big ass RV. He's got a race car. I've seen him pulling a boat, but. Like, earlier in this episode, he was cutting the grass. That was a couple days ago. Now he just fired up his race car.
It sounds all right from here, so.
he's not revving it up yet. It's like...
no doubt.
Like, either cut it off or stalled. You know, he's got one of these old cars that's got, like, a carburetor and shit. Not really a car guy, but it looks like maybe a fucking Chevy Nova, like a late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah, those are worth a ton now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually, you know, not to sidetrack too much, but I was a master mechanic before I got hurt in a car accident.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So it was stupid too, because I was a diagnostic guy. I never lifted anything more than a fucking tablet, you know. And the insurance company mandated the company that I had to lift and carry 120 pounds for 80 feet. And I honestly couldn't do it at that point. You know, I probably could now, but that's what took me out of the industry.
Wow, that sucks, man. They fucking put their nose where it doesn't belong so many times.
Yeah, it's, you know, is what it is. I mean, I can't. What are you going to do, you know? I mean, it, nothing I could fight over, you know?
Well, we're off. I work at an auto plant. I'm not going to say which one, but we're off.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, we're off for this whole week, going back Monday. I mean, the economy, ever since fucking COVID, man, it's like, you know, people got used to working from home. Nobody wants to fucking show up for work. And
yeah,
I don't know, man. It's just had like a trickle effect, man. We just started running the 25 models, 2025. And you'd think we'd be fucking booming like 10, you know, 6-7 days a week, 10 hours a day is how it usually goes. But man, right now, we can't even get going. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Well, we kind of talked about this off air, but I don't remember if we touched on this last time we talked. Forgive me again. I was obviously not in the best condition. But have you been following what's going on with the longshoremen stoppage or strike, whatever you want to call it?
Not too closely. Is that in a particular state or is it all over national?
So the West Coast has already agreed on commitments. I forget when that was, but no, this is semi-nationally, I guess I'll call it, because it's from, you know, New England to the Gulf states, and they're done now, man. It started yesterday. Like, there's going to be some shipments that are allowed in the next 10 days, I believe. But other than that, it's all done. Like, they're closing, I believe it's like 36 ports.
Jesus.
And there's not going to be any, because the West Coast states that already signed on, they've agreed to stand in solidarity, if you will, you know, the union term. And they're not going to allow any, shipments to the East Coast to be diverted to the West Coast, because of, you know, the generalized strike.
Right.
I was talking about before, as far as diabetes and stuff, like I actually called my pharmacy and asked them to refill everything I've got for as long as I can. And I actually had to call my doctor's office after talking with them and have them refill it, because the pharmacy itself, I use Rite Aid. I don't know if that's around you or not, but
yeah, they're closing a lot of them down, actually.
Yeah, New Hampshire wasn't actually affected as far as the Rite Aid thing went, but I definitely get what you're saying, and I try to again get, you know, as much stock as I can. You know, I don't care what it costs. I need this or I die, you know?
Right, yeah.
And they actually told me too, because I told them, I was like, I'm concerned with this, you know, this strike and everything. And they told me as well, they were like, yeah, you should get prepared, because it's going to hit everything.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Everything is going downhill so fast, it feels almost intentional. Like, I just don't know what the fuck's going on.
All right, you want to talk about that? I actually believe that this is the controlled you know, to use Charlie Robinson's term, this is the controlled demolition of America, you know? It's...
Yeah.
It's hard to look away from it because it's right in our face, but so many people also have blinders on that it boggles the mind, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you see all the stuff I put out on Instagram and stuff, like, it's disgusting, to be honest with you. Like, there's no way that we can easily turn around, and it seems like things are accelerating.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, talking about the Rite Aid and shit closing down. Now, out here where I'm at, our insurance carrier just told us that we have to go to CVS, which around here, do you guys got those out there in New England?
Yeah, we do. And honestly, like, seeing the comparison between the two, like, I think it was Mother's Day that I went to CVS to get a card instead of Rite Aid. And it's like, you walk into a CVS at this point, and it's like, everything's stocked, all the shelves are fucking full, you know, versus Rite Aid, which is, seems like a barren wasteland. Like, they rarely have milk at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you know? The Rite Aid... Around here in my neighborhood, they'd also had a liquor store, so that was probably the only thing keeping them open, but they shut down. I don't know what they're going to put there now. But the CVS, the CVS is inside of Target. We might have talked about this already. I can't remember because it was a couple days ago. But it fucking reminds me of, like, Demolition Man, you know, where Taco Bell was the only restaurant, but they had every kind of food.
Right.
You know, why would you combine Target and CVS? That doesn't even fucking make no sense.
Yeah, New Hampshire's kind of fucked like that. Like, we only have state-run liquor stores.
Oh, yeah.
Like, anything, like, you can buy wine and stuff like that in, you know, a convenience store, if you will. But anything above a certain... you know, level of alcohol you can only get from the state-run stores.
Yeah, that's how it is in Canada too. And I ain't been there since I was like, I was stationed in Fort Drum. It was right there on the border, so you only had to be 19 to drink. So of course we would go to Canada every chance we'd get. Oh,
absolutely, brother. You know, we're only like 3 hours away from Montreal, and when I was a kid, that was the place to go. At this point, though, the Canadian policies, I'll probably never go there again.
Oh, God. Who knows what the fuck... I mean, even though we're American citizens, some of those fucking laws and rules they got over there, you can get locked up for some stupid shit.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I completely agree, because
somebody could hear us, you know, on this, like, somebody could hear all this podcast and fucking take your ass to jail because you said something offensive. You know what I mean?
Get in line, motherfuckers. Because I'm pretty sure I'm on every list in the U.S. anyway. Yeah. So you know, it is crazy though, because like I had so much fun there. As a kid, I guess you will, you know, between like 19 and 23 probably is the last time I went there, you know. But to compare that with what's gone on with like the trucker protest and all the bullshit in between, like they've made so many crazy laws that it's not tenable anymore.
I couldn't believe that shit. I remember hearing about a single mother She was a fucking waitress, so she knows she was probably broke already. She sent $20 to the trucker convoy, and Trudeau and the Canadian government froze her fucking bank account.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, as far as Trudeau goes, too, I know this might be, well, I'm not afraid to say it here, but it might be conspiracy theory, but I think he is Castro's kid.
Sure. I mean, all the evidence, I mean, it kind of adds up. And he sure as fuck looks like him.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. I mean, you know, might not ever be found out to be true. But I don't know. We're taught at this point to like not perceive what we see in our own eyes, you know, and that's crazy.
Yeah. Now, you never lived in Canada, though, right?
No, I haven't, but my family actually, you know, the Cody name actually comes from Canada. And we're actually mentioned in there's a, you know, I guess statue or whatever. We're mentioned and actually found in Quebec City. So
cool.
My family history definitely goes back there, but I've never lived there.
I mean, how far back, though? Like, how many generations have you been in America, your family? Because I kind of hear an accent, a Canadian accent.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm not going to deny that. As far as how long we've been back here, at least since the mid-1800s.
Oh, shit. Well, I don't know. There's another guy from New Hampshire that does podcasts. Ron from New England, he calls himself.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I'm actually trying to meet up with him because we want to do an in-person podcast together. So
yeah, he's cool, man. But his accent's completely different, man. He sounds like Boston or something. You know what I mean?
I think he came from that area, to be honest. I'm not positive, but I think he did come from that area.
Huh.
I believe he was born in Mass, but I'm not positive.
I know he's been working at the same car shop since he was a little kid, so
yeah. It
sounds like he's been there. How far are you guys apart? Yeah.
We're only about 30 minutes apart, so that's why we're trying to do the in-person, you know, appearance. So
yeah, nice. I'll tell him myself. Yeah,
he's a good guy, man. I've been in contact with him for, I don't know, probably the last year or two. But yeah, we're definitely trying to line that up.
All right. Well. You got anything else you wanted to cover? I don't know how long we went a couple days ago, Monday or whatever.
I sure don't either.
We're going for a while.
No, the only other thing, and I forget how deep we got into it the other day, is that whole Georgia fire. With the chemical plant.
How long ago was that?
I think it happened on Sunday.
Shit. I'm out of touch, man, because I haven't been to work. You know, so I don't really get on my phone or nothing because I'm busy around here and shit. But, yeah, I'm out of touch.
I got you. So just like a brief recap on that. That's really all I got left. So it looks like this facility, you know, they called it a biochemical plant. What it looks like at this point is these guys were producing chlorine and other chemical substances. I tried to look into if they were, if they're producing like pharmaceuticals and stuff. It seems like it was mostly, chemicals as far as, like I said, from like chlorine to household cleaners and stuff like that. But that explosion, man, was wild. Like that was something that looked like the the Lebanon gas plant explosion back a few years ago.
Yeah, and
I
it's
don't know.
shit like that keeps happening too, man. I mean, had the shit here in Ohio with the train wreck and
Yeah, that was incredible. Like the amount of damage that was done there,
I
the
imagine.
interesting thing. Oh, good.
Now, I imagine there's going to be that type of impact in Georgia too. With all the fucking chemicals and shit. Maybe not
I
as
think so,
bad.
and it. I think so, and you know who keeps on popping up is Pete Buttigieg or whatever. He's in charge of the
Transportation.
transportation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think he's qualified whatsoever to run that position to begin with, but
Oh, hell no. Did you? We nobody
like,
heard nothing from him when that fucking boat ran into that bridge in fucking Baltimore and the bridge collapsed.
exactly,
He was
man.
nowhere to be found.
No,
And then
no,
he took
and
maternity leave.
yeah, for his
So,
husband, right?
yeah, what's he fucking breastfeeding? What the, I don't get it.
Yeah, it was chest feeding. It's chest feeding. That's what
Oh,
they
God.
call
These people are sick.
it. No doubt, man. But so getting back to Georgia though, that BlackRock was involved in that. Again, like the assassination attempt, like everything else, BlackRock is running this country.
Yeah.
So it wasn't only BlackRock, but it was Blackstone, which broke away from. They separated companies in like 1992, and it was what Larry Fink that separated the company because he got into an argument with his partner at the time, which I don't know the guy's name, but both of these companies were directly involved in Georgia,
I believe it.
and that. That to
Probably.
me is just, it's just wild, man, you know?
I wouldn't doubt if Vanguard and State Street was involved in it too. I mean, they all own
They're the
stocks in
big
each
three,
other.
yeah.
So, I mean, it's all the same
Yep.
shit. I don't know.
Absolutely agree, man. It's like,
So,
I
did
don't
you
know,
watch the
you
debate
really.
the other night, or was that last night?
Oh, the vice presidential one?
Yeah.
I didn't, honestly, man. I'm so disillusioned at this point that,
Right.
like, for the last 20 years, I wouldn't have missed anything like that. But it's just like, it doesn't even matter at this point anymore because the media is just, they've taken stock in whatever they want and they're pushing the agenda and.
Yeah.
These moderators, the moderators are just disgusting at this point,
Yeah,
like
that's what I was gonna bring up. It was just
yeah.
the questions were so fucking one-sided. It was ridiculous. And I mean, Vance did his best, but I mean, it was basically three against one. Just like
Right.
with Trump and Harris.
Right. I mean, that debate was so disgusting, man. I actually turned it off. And again, in 20 years, I've never done such a thing. It was just, it was so apparent that, you know, it was one-sided against Trump. And, you know, I don't know, man. Like, I honestly voted Libertarian again for that 20-year span, but and knowing that they're not going to get elected, but I don't give a shit. Like, does it really matter in the end?
Right, I don't think it does. But this new guy that's running the Libertarian, I forget the fucking title.
He's fucking terrible.
He's got some guy. What's his name? Is it Johnson or Benny? I don't know what his name is. He's got some shitty policies.
You might be right with Benny, but yeah, he's fucking terrible. Like, I couldn't put my name behind that. Not at all. You know, so in this election, to be honest, I am voting for Trump. You know, and I didn't vote for him the last two times. It's just... it's clear at this point we need somebody with some balls and, you know, getting shot at it a couple times. You know, it's... And he's still out there and he's going to go back to the same place that he got shot at. So,
yeah,
like, I want a guy like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the basic idea of the Libertarian Party sounds good, but, you know... they just don't have the funding. That's basically what it's all about, you know. And the idea is good, like keep your hands out of my pocket and your nose out of my business, right? I mean, to some extent,
right, so
Trump kind of follows some of those guidelines, but it's a hell of a lot better than the other side. I don't know. Right.
Yeah. No doubt. And like, so I've kind of evolved over the years, as far as like my political leanings and stuff like that. Do you, I think I mentioned this to you the other night, as far as, Pete Keown is.
Nah, I don't know him.
Okay. All right. So, he's a good person to follow because he really takes how do I want to say this? A historical perspective. And he's changed his followings over the years, from being a complete libertarian to more of a right-leaning guy. And the way he presents himself is very interesting because he's kind of, at this point in the last year or two, presented himself as a post-libertarian. And there's certain reasons for that because, you know, like the absolute libertarian is more in favor of like abortion rights and stuff like that. And, you know, I don't believe in that either, to be honest with you. Like I just don't, I think that life is sacred and
yeah, but I mean, know,
it
at the same time, it's like, if it ain't my kid, I probably should just be quiet about it. You know what I mean? Like, because I don't like the whole thing where fucking you got these liberals standing in the middle of the fucking road with signs trying to dictate what everybody else does. Like, no, don't fucking worry about it if it ain't you. You know what I mean? That's just the way I look at it. But you're right. I would never do that to in my family, you know, but.
Right. Right. And, you know, I agree with you on that. Like, if it's not me, it doesn't matter. But. it also comes to a point, like, you know, like you said, like these retards are gluing their hands to the road and trying to block traffic. Like, dude, traffic sucks enough.
Right. Imagine trying to get your kid to the fucking hospital, you know? I mean,
no, and that,
just an extreme situation like that.
You hit the nail on the head right there. Like, you know, I know EMTs and I know firefighters and what they go through to try to save a situation is crazy, you know, and without these idiots doing shit like that.
Right. All right, man. I don't know if you're on, I know you're on Instagram. That's how we met. But I mean, you can plug anything you got, you know?
Yeah, it's at the Brack 603 is my Instagram. That's primarily where I'm at this point. I've been banned from every platform, and somehow they let me survive. So we'll just go with that, man. And I appreciate the time.
Yeah, no problem. We could do it again sometime.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm always available, man. And, you know, I appreciate the flexibility that you've given me here and, you know, understanding for what happened last time.
Yeah, no problem. So, I mean, this week, I'm like that, but God willing, I'll be back to work Monday and everything will be back to normal. But, I mean, they're trying their best to fucking destroy this country. So who knows if they're going to come up with some other fucking roadblock or obstacle.
But yeah, no doubt, man. And, you know, to be honest with you, like, I'm always available. And, you know, I will leave with this foreboding comment. If this longshore thing goes through, man, we're fucked.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, it's not, but somebody's got to tell the truth, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, Fox, it's been great, man, and I really appreciate the, you know, the time and consideration.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, man.
No doubt. We'll talk soon, man.
All right. Conspiracy Soldiers is going dark.